You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What made Jesus Christ so successful? And why did his message, his miracles, and his movement eventually penetrate every culture that it encountered? One man who attended the Christian Booksellers Convention in Atlanta, Georgia last July gave this explanation. He said that Jesus was effective because he was a sharp businessman. Jesus understood and used basic marketing principles, this man explained. We totally disagree. The remarkable growth of the early church, even as it faced odds unknown in our era, can be attributed only and alone to the marvelous work of the Holy Spirit, a power which Jesus promised as he was about to ascend into heaven. Shortly before the Savior began to rise miraculously into the heavens, covered by the clouds, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, even to the remotest part of the earth." This promise of Jesus was powerfully, and in many cases, dramatically fulfilled. In the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 6, we read that the Spirit-empowered ministry of the early missionaries was so effective that even local priests were becoming obedient to the faith. How different from today! Instead of seeing a 20th century church which is bold, we often are forced to observe a helpless bureaucracy which is constantly bullied. And instead of a small group of confessing and convicted Christians, possessed with courage and endless eagerness to expand, today's Christianity is all too often seen as a derelict and dying denomination. One of Canada's leading news magazines recently reported that the membership in the Canadian Anglican Church dropped dramatically from 2.4 million members in 1971 to an incredible 834,000 one year ago. And it is not necessary to single out this Canadian church group. Other denominations are experiencing similar dramatic decline. While many church leaders stand around scratching their heads and wringing their hands, all of us must be solemnly reminded that there is an answer. But the answer is not of human origin. Jesus did not promise that his church would be propelled forward by methodology, public relations techniques, or the latest marketing principles. Instead, in the Savior's words selected in our text for today, Jesus promised his fledgling church, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses even to the remotest part of the earth." For centuries, the Christian church has designated the 40th day following Easter as the annual celebration of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. This coming Thursday is that day, and it is our prayer that as we consider the ascension of our Lord, many of you listening to this broadcast would be greatly comforted, strongly encouraged, and greatly blessed. God is offering you and your family His Spirit. This day, God is promising you a power that far surpasses anything human. Let this day then be for you and your family a time of spiritual renewal. Let this be the day when you turn away from your own solutions and instead seek help from the Lord. And equipped with this spiritual power from the Almighty God, say no to moments of spiritual doubt. By the power of God, these doubts and fears in your heart can be stopped. Let the Spirit of God raise you up. Trust in the Savior's promise. Begin this next week sincerely believing that you shall indeed receive power after the Holy Ghost establishes His work in your life and your family. This power will bring strength and new vision to you and your entire household. God's Spirit will also bring you the joy, the courage, and the conviction to be a bold witness for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time the devil tempts you to doubt the strengthening and fortifying and sustaining power of the Holy Spirit, then take note of God's historic work of consolation and comfort. In a book entitled Persecution in the Early Church, published by the Oxford University Press, Herbert Workman sets forth the absolute stunning statistic that with the exception of January 1st, every day of the calendar year can be shown to mark the deaths of no less than 5,000 martyrs. This is not 5,000 martyrs per year. This is 5,000 martyrs every day at least. Some were mocked. Others were scourged. Scores were imprisoned and chained. Some were sawed in two, and others were put to death by the sword. In many nations, they were forced into exile, often wandering in deserts and living in holes in the ground. In the 1554 publication of Fox's Book of Martyrs, a classic publication referred to several years ago in the prestigious academic think tank journal The Wilson Quarterly, author Fox describes how William Tyndale, the Englishman responsible for translating the Bible into English, braved great persecution until he was finally captured through trickery and burned to death in the year of 1536. The list of missionaries and reformers who have suffered a bloody persecution and death over the centuries is so long that it could not possibly be contained even in one large book. Now is the time, then, for all of us to seriously consider the incredible, courageous composure of those early martyrs. They regularly faced killer lions burning at the stake and having their limbs savagely broken as they were tied to and turned upon the torture wheel. But they were unfazed. They were physically bludgeoned and beaten down, but their faith and their spirits remained high. Let no one ever attribute this fearless faith to the power of positive thinking. Many of the simplistic slogan peddlers in so-called Christian circles of today would quickly buckle under the weight and the tyranny heaped upon the early Christians. True Christianity demands more than bumper sticker slogans. It requires, yes, it demands, the divine power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Thus, we must acknowledge that these fearless followers of the faith were a direct result of the Ascension Day proclamation when Jesus boldly promised, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses even to the remotest part of the earth." This promise is not limited to the first century. Jesus is also making this same promise of power to you and me today. And so as you listen today, you may not be a 20th century martyr for Christ. You may not be languishing in prison, with your arms and your legs gripped in chains because of your faith. But this makes absolutely no difference. Often the devil uses the simple frustrations of life, piled one upon the other, to make our everyday existence seem worse than prison itself. And so with this knowledge and armed with God's holy word, let us agree that this is not the time to give up. In His grace and mercy, God offers you His strength-giving Spirit at this hour. In your moments of frustration and your hours of trial, with a sincere and believing heart and with a boldness of faith and with the confidence and the authority God offers you in Christ Jesus, take your prayers and petitions to your Heavenly Father's throne of grace. Do it with confidence, and in your prayers invoke the intercessory name of Jesus. Ask that you and your family might be richly blessed, empowered, and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. God has promised this blessing to all who ask for it. Don't delay. Make prayer a priority today, and then with a thank-filled heart, anticipate the certain fulfillment of God's wonderful offer. For you and your family shall indeed receive cleansing, healing, hope, and the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. On this broadcast, we must assume that some of you listening today are housewives and mothers whose husbands and breadwinners have deserted you. The New York Times reported that there are now 9 million mothers trying to raise their families alone. Over one half of these women receive absolutely no financial help whatsoever from their husbands because these derelicts cannot be found or they refuse to pay. This may not sound like very many, but this is the same number of people as is in the entire state of Massachusetts or Missouri. Seeing this comparison, this statistic is staggering. This situation is alarming, and it is getting worse. Thus, facing formidable forces of fear, abandoned families need to appeal directly to the throne of God. This is the one place where wives and the discouraged can be absolutely sure their pleas will be heard and their prayers shall be answered. The Lord shall certainly answer your prayers, and He shall grant you the power and the strength of His Spirit. Now is the time also for Christian churches to assume their social responsibility. Those of you who are now members of the church, the living body of Christ, take up the challenge our Master has so lovingly granted unto us. From this day forward, with a loving attitude, pay close attention to families on your street. Assume Christian responsibility for the needy in your community, especially those who are struggling. Stop at their doorstep and offer to help. Uphold especially the children. Do everything possible to bring them the hope of the Christian gospel. But don't stop there. Help them also with their physical needs. And if the devil tempts you to wonder whether or not we are to become involved in the lives of others, and whether we are, as some do, deserting the true gospel in preference to the social gospel, then let us quickly be reminded of the words recorded in the Bible, James chapter 2, where we read, "What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing or in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. With a life then redirected to selfless sacrifice of service by meeting the needs of other families, and also bubbling over with the joy of God's soul-saving message of the gospel of forgiveness in Christ, let this new approach to life on this festive Ascension week be for you and your family genuine fulfillment of Jesus' words in our text, 'You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to every part of the world.' From this day forward, then, waste no more days waiting for God to knock you down with a blinding light. Instead, like a little baby beginning to walk, stand up with the legs of faith that the Savior is now offering to you. Let God's Spirit of power enable you to overcome all your frustrations and fears of the future. Grasp firmly the promise Jesus is offering you today. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and your family. Life led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit shall certainly be for you a new and challenging experience. Even as your roots of faith seek a solid foundation in the Savior, the devil shall also be working vigorously, trying to discourage, to disappoint, to dissuade, and even to destroy. For this reason, you need to be nourished and strengthened daily by God's living Word, which is the bread of life. For a Christian, daily Bible reading and prayer are not optional. Just as you and I need food and water to keep our physical selves alive, so also we need God's living Word and His Spirit to maintain a strong and healthy spiritual life. It is through the Word of God that the Spirit of God's power comes to us. It is also through this Word that we receive God's message of mercy in the Savior's atoning death and victorious Easter resurrection. And so, my friends, as we celebrate the Ascension of our Lord, this is the time for all of us, especially those of you listening today, to remember that a greater power than ourselves exists. Through His Son, Jesus, God has promised you and me the power of the Holy Spirit. And let this confidence also carry you over the obstacles that you are now facing in your life. God's Spirit, the Comforter, shall certainly strengthen your faith. He shall enable you also to take this first step in a new start in life. And at the same time, the Spirit of God shall drive away all doubts from your heart and grant you and your family the boldness to be witnesses in word and in deed for the Lord Jesus. Yes, indeed, the Spirit of God is the author of spiritual healing and hope. Call upon the Lord today and ask Him to shower His Spirit a blessing upon you. Then, as these blessings become real in your life, the word of Jesus in our text for today shall also be fulfilled. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you. This power then will enable you to enjoy a new life. And this new life will, in turn, enable you to give all glory to God. God's power, His Holy Spirit, will then ultimately enable you to be His witness in your family, your community, and even unto the remotest parts of the whole world. Oh, my friends, today, claim this blessing of God during this Ascension week. May God's promise of power and hope be yours. Be it then unto you, even as Jesus has promised, for you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. My friend, may God grant this promise unto you and your family today. Amen.